Great. Thank God for today. Let's pray shortly before we launch into the Word of God. Thank you for brightness. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you that we can come to your presence and be filled again. We thank you for creating such a day for us that we can rest in you and be blessed of you. We come with our cups empty. We pray that Jesus, you fill it before we leave your presence. Let your word bring peace. Let your word bring light. Let your word bring hope. Let your word bring victory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So we are starting a new series today, and the title is God's Protection. Anna mentioned it earlier. And my topic for today is God's strength and knowing the enemy. God's strength and knowing the enemy. Let me go back because the sunlight kind of hits me. So we're going to read from Ephesians 6. Chapter 6, the verse 10 to 13. For this series, we're going to focus on Ephesians 6. But today, I'll choose to focus. So my work today is to just introduce us to the several things that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. When you go to Ephesians 6, the caption, starting from the verse 10 going, if you're reading the Bible, the caption is the armor of God. Hallelujah. The armor of God. And I know that more often when we hear the word the armor of God, we tend to have mixed feelings. I wanted us to understand that the title or the word or whatever, the phrase, the armor of God, is not something you should be worried about. It's just an invitation of God to come to me, to obey, to submit to me so that I will dress you, so that I will protect you. The armor of God is just an invitation from Jesus that come to me. Would you listen? Would you obey and come to me so that I am strong, I am mighty, I am powerful, I created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. So please come to me and let me shield you, let me protect you. That is all about the armor of God. Hallelujah. And this very much links to what we were discussing in the past month about friendship, relationships, marriages. I think one common theme that starts here is submission, obedience. And these are also very important in friendships and relationships. So Paul, before I start reading, you realize that in Ephesians 5, he's talking about we, the members or the body of Christ, submitting to Christ or, caring for each other. He talks about marriage, that, Christ is the head of the church, also the head of the family, and the man is the head of the family, and the man needs to love his wife, and the wife needs to submit to her husband. Talking about, these kind of things. Then he starts the chapter 6, Ephesians 6, starts by saying that children, obey your parents. So if you read Ephesians 5 going to 6, you see that he's talking about obedience, submission, trust. And then he finally comes to the verse 10. And says, I will read from the New King James, the New International NIV. He starts with the verse 10 by saying that, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Finally, when we are talking and we say finally, it means that we've said that. But now, these are also important. Pay attention to them. So that he says that, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Again, repeat it twice. So that when the days of evil comes, you may be able to stand on your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. This is an interesting scripture. We trust God for a breakdown as we deliberate on this. The book of Ephesians is reminiscent of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. It is the New Testament version of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the book of Joshua paints a picture of the people of God, the children of God, who were about to possess the promised land and therefore were in the stage of preparation to possess what God had promised them. And they had this leader called Joshua to take them to that promised land. The only difference between the days of Joshua and us as the sons and daughters of God is that in the days of Joshua, they were facing a physical enemy. They were confronted by physical enemies. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the what knights. They had to fight them in order to get to the promised land. Remember the sons of Anak? They had to make sure they clear the sons of Anak in order to inhabit the promised land. So they were giants. They were also short people. They had to fight physically to possess the promised land. In our time, we are not being confronted by a physical enemy. The war has transitioned into the spiritual. So we are not fighting physical wars. We are fighting spiritual wars. And it is important for us to understand this. We are dealing with an enemy who, I'll read scripture in a bit, is quite old, and who fought Christians in the past physically, but has now re-strategized and started attacking the church spiritually. We are talking of Satan. And therefore, we need to understand his strategies, the tools, his schemes that he uses against us today in order to possess the promised land. God has promised us eternity. That is our promised land. And to be able to possess eternity, there are challenges. Satan, the adversary, who doesn't want us to reach that destination, who doesn't want to possess heaven, will do everything to stop you. Just as the enemy in the era of Joshua did everything to prevent them from possessing the promised land. So, he'll do everything to attack your family. He'll do everything to attack your job, your finances. He'll do everything to attack your relationship. He'll attack your studies. He'll attack everything. He'll attack your mind. He does everything to confuse you, to take you from the scheme of God, to make you frustrated and defeated in life. He doesn't want you to possess heaven. He doesn't want you to possess the promised land. So the devil is fighting us spiritually, not physically, and is using every tool to make sure we do not arrive at our final destination. You see, as we sit here, we are nicely dressed. Every one of us is nicely dressed. And I'm sure when we are going to church, to school, to work, to whatever we do in life, we also dress nicely, isn't it? The question now is that, are we dressed or are we properly dressed for the battle? And that is why the caption said, the armor of God. I dare to say this word, that whether we like it or not, once you became born again, once you were called a child of God, once you became a Christian, the battle line was drawn. You are now in a war zone. The enemy hates you becoming a Christian. The enemy doesn't want you to be a believer. He doesn't want you to be a child of God. So the moment you cross the line of salvation, he is doing everything to pull you back. So there's a battle line drawn. And this is a spiritual battle. It is not a physical one. So he is doing everything to make sure he pulls you back. And the way he does it is to fight you spiritually, mentally, attack you, and make sure you go back. We are the Joshua generation, just like the days of Joshua. We are the Joshua generation. There are several promises for us to possess the land to get to our final destination, heaven. The question, as I raised earlier, is that are we properly dressed? And that's why Jesus is inviting you to come, obey, listen to me, and let me dress you so that you'll be protected for the journey, so that you'll be secured for the journey, because without that, you cannot make it. And that is why the verse 13 says that having done all to stand, we'll see that as we try to finish up. Joshua was God's warrior, and each of us are God's warriors, because we are the end time armor of Christ. Christ has called us to be his end time army. Once you are saved, you are part of the armor of Christ, and we are marching to eternity, and we have to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, truth, righteousness, faith, prayer, and all that, the word of God, everything that embodies the armor of God. We need to have them in order to defeat the enemy, in order to take Turku, in order to take Finland, in order to take the world for Christ. So to be able to do that, we need to be fully armed in Christ. And that's what this whole scripture and theme we're going to talk about is about, actually. When we go to the verse 10, Paul admonishes the people of Ephesians to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. In other words, when the Lord clothes you, when you have the whole armor of God, you are now stronger because of Christ and not because of you. Back home in Ghana, there was a gospel musician who made a song and said, if you know how to fight your battles, God will not fight your battle for you. If you know how to speak for yourself, Jesus will not speak for you. It's just exactly what Paul is trying to say. That don't be strong in yourself, but be strong in Christ. Being strong in Christ means that allowing Jesus to equip you, allowing Jesus to fight your battle for you. That's what he's trying to say. You see, in the days of Joshua, he was specifically told by the angels, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And now, in our generation, God is saying that be strong in Christ, be strong in me. Because the enemy that you are dealing with is not physical. It is an invincible enemy. You can't see. You see Satan, you don't see Satan. It is not a physical enemy. Sometimes, you see, when you are dealing with a physical enemy, you can measure the height, the width, everything. You can go back and strategize and know how to attack. You can see some of their weaknesses. But now you are dealing with an enemy who you have no understanding of. I'm going to read a scripture to tell us who that enemy really is. So Paul is saying that we should be strong in Christ and not in ourselves. For by strength shall no man prevail. You cannot prevail with or on your own strength, in your own capacity. You can't stand. That is why he says, having done all, stand. You can't stand, my brothers and sisters. This journey that we've been called into, this Christian journey, you can't stand if you want to rely on your own strength and capacity. You can't make it. You would fall. I can promise you that. And it's not just, I'm a living testament. I've seen it. You would fall. you can't make it. The devil is too wise to succeed at making you fall. That is why we need Jesus in our life. That is why we need the full armor of God, as we're going to see. Let's read 1 Samuel, the verse 2 and 9. There the Bible says that he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. For by strength shall no man prevail. It is not out of our tight, how high we are, or how big we are, or how strong we are. No, it is not by strength. It is not by might, but by the Spirit of God. By your strength, you cannot prevail. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the equipping of God. It takes the grace of God to prevail against the enemy. We can be strong in Christ. We can be strong in the Lord when we come under His cover, when we come under His protection, when we have His full armor, which means submission, when we submit to Christ. You see, he's using the armor, full armor of God, to depict the army. If you want any institution in the world where people are most disciplined, go to the army. I'm sure you agree with me. I know most of the young guys in Finland do go to the army, and I'm sure they'll testify to that. If you want one institution in this world where people are very disciplined, go to the army. Because the first point is to be submissive. You have a commander who say, hey, ha, and you have to do what hey, ha means. You know, they have codes. When he says, jump, you have to jump. Sleep, you have to sleep. Wake up, you have to wake up. Train, you have to train. Run, you have to run. And God is using that imagery to say that, submit to me, obey what I tell you to do, and you'll be fine. That's all he's trying to say. And you'll be very fine. But if you don't do that, the enemy is lurking around the corner, and he'll do everything to frustrate you. And in as far as you don't submit fully to me, there are some things I'll be limited in doing. Because you've not fully committed to Christ, it becomes difficult for Christ to do your battle. Because instead of inviting Christ to speak, you're speaking. Instead of inviting Christ to do the physical, you're punching people. How do you expect God to do the battle for you? There are times that you don't have to punch people. You have to just keep your hands and go on your knees, hide in the secret, and call on God. God, deal with this issue for me. I can't. And God will move on your behalf. When we go to the next verse, he says that, put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. So the devil is playing multiple schemes. You know, the devil has a lot of strategies that he's using against you. So he says schemes. The devil is there strategizing and plotting and planning. How do I snatch this guy? How do I snatch this lady? Look at this beautiful family. They are so happy together. How do I frustrate them? How do I confuse them? How do I make them separated? That is the business of the devil. Seriously strategizing to make sure you are not happy. He wants to take your happiness away. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your peace away. You see, you are fighting an enemy who is older than you. That's one thing you should know. You are fighting an enemy who is wiser than you. That's the second thing you should know. You are fighting an enemy who is stronger than you. That is the third thing you know. And you are fighting an enemy who is invisible. You can't see. Satan was there from the foundations of the earth. So he's older than all of us human beings. He's also very wise. Let's read this scripture and confirm. Ezekiel 28, the verse 14 to 18.
If you bring it projected, I'll be very glad. Thank you very much. Look at what the scripture says. He says that you were anointed as a guardian cherub. There is a branch of the angelic, the angels in heavens who are called cherubs. We also have the seraphims. So Satan was an anointed cherub. He was a guardian angel in the presence of God, the God we serve, Almighty. He said, "For so I ordained you, you were on the holy mount of God." God is talking about Satan. "You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the days you were created till wickedness was found in you." So if you read the whole scripture, he says that then he was cast to the earth. He was cast down because of his sins. So what you should understand by this enemy you are dealing with is that he was originally up there in the heavens, misbehaved, was cast down, and therefore he is not happy that you will go to heaven. He will do everything to pull you to be part of him. And he is old and he is wise, intelligent and smart. Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. He says that the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Can we say that as children of God? The prince of this world. Why did Jesus say the prince of this world? Because he was cast down from heaven to the earth. And now the earth is his dominion. That is why when Jesus fasted for 40 days and the devil came to Jesus, he took Jesus to the mountain and showed Jesus the world and said, "This belongs to me. If you bow before me, I'll give it all to you." Satan is the prince of this world. And until you understand these spiritual principles in dealing with the devil, you might take life for granted. It is behind the scenes fighting you spiritually. You don't see. So sometimes you see the sicknesses that comes your way. Oh, yesterday night I was attacked. I must confess. Just last night I was attacked. Sometimes you see the failures that comes your way. Sometimes the accidents that comes your way, you think it's just normal. It's not normal. It is spiritual. I came to tell you, believe it or not, there are scriptures that back that, and I'll give you scriptures. Sometimes we take everything to be physical, and for that reason, we respond to them physically. No. It's about how time we go into the presence of God and allow God to fight our battles for us. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. That's one of his names as well. He is the chief prosecutor of us Christians. You see, when you go to Job, when you go to the book of Job, you are not reading that, but at your free time, read. Job 1, Bible says that when the sons of God had gathered before God to pay homage, lo and behold, Satan also appeared. And when God asked Satan, "Where are you from?" he said, "I've been moving to and fro in the world." So Satan, up to now, can go to heaven into the presence of God and be the chief prosecutor against us Christians. He goes before the throne of God and see, "Have you seen your servant Daniel? Have you seen that he's happy? Have you seen that he's doing all that he's doing? It's because you have blessed him. If you want, give me the chance to trouble him small. He'll curse you." Just as he talked about Job. So he is your prosecutor. He doesn't want your happiness, and he wants every way or means to frustrate you. That's why the Bible also calls him the adversary. He has a scheme, a strategy to frustrate you, your family, your friendship, your relationship, and everything. And we should be very mindful of that as Christians. If you are fighting a spiritual enemy, an enemy which is invincible, which you cannot see, it takes more than simple prayers to defeat that enemy. You can't just recite the Lord's Prayer and think that the devil is defeated. You can't just rise up the whole day and when you have your lunch, you say, "Thank you, Jesus, for lunch. I'm grateful." And that's it. You think the enemy is defeated. If you are dealing with this kind of enemy, you need to be conscious. you need to also be spiritual. That's why Jesus is inviting you to put on the whole armor of God. One of them is prayer. One of them is the word of God. You need to know the word of God. You need to also pray. I'm not here to threaten you, but unfortunately, that's the reality we face. The battle line has been drawn. We are the sons and daughters of God, of Jesus Christ. We have eternity waiting for us, but the devil is doing everything not to let you get there. And the devil is fighting you spiritually. The way to sustain that path is to also be spiritual. So, for instance, things like lust, backbiting, you know, gossiping about people behind your back, jealousy, anger, you know, and fear. All these things are not things that, you know, are worthy of children of God. And therefore, when we are talking about putting on the full armor of God, it's a call to submission, it's a call to responsibility. That the enemy is there and watching and wanting to accuse us. Therefore, we try to walk straight. We try to stand in such a way that it becomes so difficult for the enemy to get any punching bag or hole to accuse us. Bible says that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Interesting. So what Paul is trying to establish here is that, you see, despite the fact that you are fighting an enemy you can't see, in the kingdom of Satan, there are hierarchies, there are structures, there are orders. I'm not threatening you. This is Paul saying. It's not from Daniel. He says that there are demons who are called principalities. So they are like magistrates. So when you come to the city of Turku, there is a principality hovering in the sky. I'm not threatening you. That's a spiritual reality. Because Satan is called the prince of the world. He manages, he controls many things. And unless you pray and break through that, the devil will continue to frustrate you. So this is not like, you know, a battle that we do physically like taekwondo or karate, where you can kick out somebody and knock them out. No, this is a spiritual one. But in the spirit realm, he's telling you that be mindful of Satan because he has got some hierarchies, he has got some commanders there as well. So when you overcome one hierarchy, the next hierarchy is waiting for you. That's why sometimes in life you think that you feel like I'm now sick and tired. Because one challenge comes, you think, oh, I've almost done with this challenge, and then the next surfaces. Oh, you think I've cornered, then the next comes. And then at some point you're so tired. Ah, am I not a Christian? Am I not Jesus? Am I not your son or daughter? Why is it that this challenge comes, that one comes, and just leave it to God. Just keep praying. Because that is the strategy of the enemy to make you feel like Jesus is, our God is not there. To make you disbelieve. Don't be a disbeliever. Believe in Christ. And he'll bring the victory. He'll glorify his name. That is the strategy of the enemy. You see, sometimes you go into some countries, some nations, and you see a certain pattern of life. And it becomes difficult to break through unless you believe in some of these spiritual principles. You go to certain cities and there's so much promiscuity. And it is not easy to break through that barrier because everyone is just nude. Everyone is just doing anything. You go to certain cities, there's so much poverty. And it's not easy to break through. Do you understand why? The reason being that the prince of this world has dispatched several diverse principalities who manage those territories. And they have certain spirit that shows in that territory. So once you are there, you are subject to that spirit. And if you don't pray, it affects you. Let me give us an example. Let's read Mark 5, the verse 9 to 10. Just briefly, if you're interested, you can read the whole book. You remember Jesus, when he landed at the city of Gerasene, Bible says that immediately they came from the boat, a man who was possessed and who was living in the tombs came rushing to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, he bowed and said, "Son of God, please help me, forgive me, don't punish me." He was possessed by what we call legions, several demons. And Bible says that when Jesus said the demon should leave the man, they pleaded with Jesus to what? Not ask them to leave that area, that territory. It means the demons, for them, that area belonged to them. So once Jesus was saying, "Get out of this person," they said, "Please, we'll go out, but don't let us go out of our territory. This is where we belong. We don't want to go to another place. This is our inhabitants." Please understand these spiritual principles. I know it is complex. I know it is difficult, detailed, but we need to tell us these things. This is not unconventional gospel. I'm not preaching this because I'm coming from Africa. I understand these things, and I've experienced it. The demon said, "We are called legion. It is hundreds and hundreds of us. Please don't cast us. Don't let us. We cast us out, but don't let us go outside this region. Let us stay here. This is where we belong." So the Bible said Jesus cast them. They actually pointed Jesus that there are pigs around. Let us go into the pigs. And once they were cast into the pigs went straight into the waters. You are dealing with forces, powers. And we should understand that. So sometimes you see there are some families where it's almost like a demon has been discharged to regulate their life so that no one ever goes to university. There are some families, no matter what, the woman will marry, and by the time they are 45, the marriage is boom, is broken. There are some families, by the time you are 45, all the males will get cancer and die. I'm serious. I don't know, maybe you've not seen that pattern, but I have seen that. There are some families, no matter what they do, poverty has gripped them. It is because the enemy doesn't want your joy and your happiness. It dispatches some forces over you and they regulate. It takes a Christian who understands these principles to pray against, to put on the whole armor of God and to ask Jesus, "Help me break this curse. Help me cross this barrier." They are the people who triumph. If you trust God for that, the victory will be yours. And this is what Paul was admonishing the people of Ephesus to be mindful. If you read Luke 13, the verse 10 to 17, Bible says there was one time when Jesus encountered a woman with an infirmity. Bible actually described that scenario as a woman with a spirit of infirmity. She was sick, but Jesus, the Bible doesn't describe her as the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible here says that the woman with a spirit of infirmity. And so when Jesus was merciful and wanted to cast out, heal her, Jesus didn't say be healed. Jesus said what? "Be thou loosed." Jesus commanded the woman to be loosed from the bondage of Satan. Because the sickness was not as a normal one. It was a spiritual sickness imposed on the lady by the devil. And that's why I said, sometimes there are sicknesses, diseases hovering around, and you think, "Oh, this is natural. We've gone to the hospital. The doctors are saying." No. Sometimes some of these things are done by the enemy to frustrate you, to cause you to be so bitter and frustrated. "Why did my uncle die of cancer? If God, you are alive, why did you allow my uncle to die of cancer?" I've seen people who have come out of the faith simple because of some of these questions. They couldn't believe why Jesus or God would allow their uncles to die of cancer. They are so bitter and they think, "Well, if God is there, this should not happen." So they go out. That is the strategy of the devil, actually. To make you disbelieve God and to defeat you, to get you in his camp. So as these things happen, please understand the strategies and the schemes of the enemy against the church, against the body of Christ. when we are not prepared for spiritual attacks, when we don't have the full armor of God on, we tend to respond to these things physically, in the physical realm. So we tend to be angry, as I said, we tend to be sad, we tend to be bitter, we get frustrated, we get stressed, we get emotional. Sometimes we want to hit the target. Sometimes you want to fight your mom or your dad or your grandma or whatever because you think the person is not nice. Sometimes some co-worker went and gossiped about you and they are nearly about sacking you and you're so angry. Why this person will gossip about me to the extent that I'm being sacked? Maybe you might be angry to the point of wanting to hit the person. Sometimes it's not just the person. The devil is using that entity. So you might be angry with the wrong person. Be angry with the devil. Go on your knees and pray. And you see that it will change. I've seen those moments before. Where people come and say, ho, 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 ho. What I said was just a joke. I didn't mean it. This person hasn't done what I said. I've seen it before. Where somebody actually lied to the point that someone was to be sacked. Then the person, because of prayer, not attack, not any physical attack, but going on their knees and saying, God, I'm innocent. I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Intervene in this issue. If it is not me, let the truth be told. Then the angels and Holy Spirit take charge of the situation. The next day, the person comes, sleeps and can't sleep and say, hey, 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 it was a joke. I didn't really mean it. This person is sincere. He didn't do it. That's how we fight it. The way we fight is to go on our knees as sons and daughters of Christ. Finally, he says that, the verse 13, he says that, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. And after you have done everything, to stand. Do you know what that means? It means that even in the midst of having the full armor of God, sometimes it takes perseverance to stand. That's what he's trying to tell you. That even when you have the full armor of God on, Satan is so cynical that he'll play games on you to the point that sometimes it just takes you to say, huh, God, I believe in you. I don't care whatever happens to you. I just believe in you. And that's it. That's why he means I stand. There are times in life that the devil will question and question and question and trouble you to the point that you want to ask, well, I'm righteous. I go to church, I pay my tithes, I fast, I pray, I don't fornicate, I don't drink alcohol, I don't smoke. You know, I don't do all the don'ts. So why this situation? Paul and Jesus is saying that when you come to that point, still believe in God and stand. Don't let the devil convince you that there is no God. Stand and you see the glory of God. The devil plays a lot of tricks. There are times you are going for the job or you are going for the position, you are going for to school, and the devil will start painting pictures about your family. In your family, no one has gone to university. You will fail, you can't succeed, and you believe that. See, your family, no one has succeeded at marriage. You try and see, you fail. You get divorced, and then you are scared. You don't want to try it. The devil actually speaks to some of us, you are ugly. You are so ugly, no one will want to marry you. You are not smart. You are just too stupid. And you see, you think I'm just saying words for nothing. I know what these mean because he does that to me as well. Sometimes you are tempted to believe the devil because he has a way of painting yourself, showing your image, your background, where you come from, everything. And you say, oh, it's true. For this is true. Look at my family. No, it's true. I can't. I shouldn't dare try. Please, that is the voice of the devil. Because I can assure you that more often it is the case that once you hear that voice, there's always the subtle voice that says, no, give it a try. You can. No, give it a try. I'll support you. Just go. Just give it a try. Just trust in me. And that is God speaking to you. There should be a time where you stand. Let me end my sermon by saying this. I once attended a gospel concert in Birmingham, the United Kingdom, and the worship leaders, you know, said one, sad story. They said there was apparently a very young kid, about 5 years, whose dad was a pastor, and they just lost the dad in a road accident, and whole family didn't know how to convey the message to the boy. So it took them a lot of strategies, thinking days, and eventually what shocked them and what also shocked me was that when they had the courage to call the boy and said, look, your dad is no more, the boy paused and said, well, I have God. I have a heavenly father. Whether dad is alive or not, I have God. You see, there are times that you have to forgo the physical circumstance and say, whatever the case, I still have God. I still trust in Jesus. And I trust that he has my back and he'll take care of me and it will be fine. It is only that counsel that sends the devil away. When Satan came to test or tempt Jesus, Jesus relied on the word of God. And when Jesus said, it is written, I believe in Christ. I'm not going to listen to you. I believe in Christ. I'm not going to bow. I believe in Christ. I'm not going to eat bread or convert stones into bread. Bible says Satan fled. If you resist the enemy will flee from you. God bless us. Let's pray as we pray.